seated tonight. I guess you probably want to maybe take some notes tonight. We're going to go back to the message on Sunday night as we talked about the Holy Spirit of God. And the working of the Holy Spirit then and now is the title. And the first mention of the Holy Spirit is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. And I did that so I'd be sure to be able to find my text. In verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." I believe that. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And so here we find that God is shown, the Spirit of God is shown to have emotion. He's shown to have care and concern as He moved upon the waters. In our last study on Sunday evening, we noticed these things about the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. It's not something you have to pray for. It's not something that comes in weeks later. It's not something that someone puts their hands on you and you receive. It has nothing to do with those things. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not the person of Christ that comes to live in your heart and life. It's the Holy Ghost of God that comes to live in your heart and life. And He's ever with you till the day that you die. And so you receive Him. If you're saved, you already have the Holy Ghost of God. And then we receive Him upon being saved. And that's an important point we want to come back to a little bit later. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Ghost of God. There are evidences in our life as to whether or not we have the Holy Ghost of God in our life. Because you see, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why when people tell me they don't know when they got saved, then I'm pretty sure they have not gotten saved. Now, for a young person, a child, a young person, just old enough to understand right from wrong, old enough to understand their left hand from their right hand, able to reason together with God, as one of the children, Jesus said, we have to become as a child of God, or as a child even to be saved. And so a child can get saved. They haven't been through all the rot and the ruin, some of the things we mentioned before. They've not had those things, and so the change in their life will be less noticeable to outsiders than it would be if they were raised, you know, and 25, 30 years old, been living a wicked life, and Jesus comes into their life. Everyone notices the change there. But if there is no change, it's because there has not been a happening on the inside of a person's life. They themselves will know the change. So they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The second thing I think is an evidence of the Holy Spirit of God living in your life is that there's a desire to obey Him. Now, we don't become instant obeyers completely. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But we want to serve God. We want to please God. We don't want to say no to God like we one time did. And then these two, one of two C's is in the life of every person who has the Holy Ghost of God living in their life. There's either change or chastisement. "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourges every son whom He receiveth." So if you're without chastisement, you're not saved. And you have not the Holy Ghost of God. And then we looked at two pictures of the Holy Spirit, and one was Ebenezer of Damascus, and he's a picture of the Holy Spirit in the fact that he was sent to get a bride for Isaac, and in his sending, he went where he was supposed to go, he said what he was supposed to say, he was obedient, he was faithful to his master, he promoted his master above himself. The Holy Ghost of God promotes Jesus Christ above himself. He goes where God wants him to go. He does what God wants him to do. As God Himself, he yields himself to the Father and to the Son. And then, of course, the dove at the baptism of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said the Holy Ghost of God came down in semblance, in physical shape, I believe, like a dove. And then, of course, we looked at the first time that the dove appears in the Bible in the book of Genesis with Noah. And Noah sent it away three times, indicating that we can resist the Holy Spirit of God until He says, "Okay, I'll not bother you about that again." And then, of course, if you're saved, that's when the shoe shop comes in handy. And that's when, if you're lost, then you might be in real bad trouble. His purpose is to comfort, it's to convict, it's to conduct, it's to guide us, to lead us. And take us around the potholes in life and through the jungles of life and over the humps in life and through the chaos, the confusion, and the pain and the agony and the struggles. The Holy Ghost of God, it's His job to lead us through all those things. And then we can give Him a bad time. We can give Him a hard time. We notice that He can be quenched. You know, He just starts getting the place warm and the bucket of water comes on. He can be quenched. And then some people can imitate Him. Some people have imitated Him. People today, there's many people today. Jesus said in the last days, there'd be many people saying, here's the Christ, and here's the Christ, because of the things that are happening in the lives of people and the indication that miracles are being performed when they're not miracles at all. You see, he can be imitated. And then he can be grieved. He can be grieved. To be grieved means just to pull back. To be grieved is to be pulled back. And then he can be resisted. And for a lost person, he can be blasphemed. And of course, when a lost person blasphemes the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, there's no forgiveness. There's no return from that. So if you know someone that's not saved, you might tell them, you keep horsing around. You keep messing around. You keep living a wicked life. There comes a time when God says, that's enough. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. We need to understand that. Well, after the services on Sunday night, I was approached and we found an area that needs some clarification. And I'm glad for that. The Holy Ghost has not always worked in the same way. But note this also. Truth is not afraid of being examined. You can look at truth from any angle you want to look at it, and if it's truth, it'll stay truth. And if it's not, it ought to be exposed as being an untruth and not a truth. And so we need to understand that. Someone said truth can protect itself. Truth is like a tiger. You don't have to protect a tiger. Just take it out of its cage, take its leash off of it, and watch it protect itself. This book can protect itself. You don't have to make excuses for this book. You don't have to duck and hide from different portions of Scripture. This book will take care of itself if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This book will go hand in hand like a hand in a glove. It all fits together. And you can examine it any time you want to. And any time something's said from this pulpit that you have a question about, you owe it to everyone you love to come up and say, preacher, can we talk about this? Can we talk about this? Can we look at this? I thought this. I thought that. We need to investigate this. And I'll be glad to go over what I said. And if I've said something that's erroneous or something that's inaccurate, I'll say I'm sorry from the same place I made the mistake. That's right here at the pulpit, one of the greatest churches in America. Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse number 15, here's the verse that started the topic off. Luke chapter 1, verse number 15. Now remember, we said you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. I received the Holy Spirit of God in my home, 317 Smith Street, Fort Collins, Colorado. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that day. I'm different because of that day. If you have trouble liking me now, you'd have hated me then, before then. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse number 15 says, for he, speaking of John the Baptist, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Oh, preacher, you said we receive the Holy Spirit of God when you get saved. John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit of God when he was still inside his mother. From his mother's womb he was filled with the Spirit of God. So how do we take this and this and put it together without twisting, without making it a pretext, without taking it out of context, without making the whole thing a sham? How do we do that? And I prayed about that, and I believe God gave me some things to share with you tonight along these lines. Under the law of the Lord, the Holy Spirit would visit people and then leave. He would come upon them for a special purpose, and then he would leave. he would come and remind them of something and say, I want to do something, and God would speak to their heart, and the Holy Ghost of God would come and enable them to do something spectacular, usually some real important thing. He doesn't do that today. Once the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, you're stuck with him and he's stuck with you. And I promise you, you have the better of those two deals, having him. So here's some examples for you. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, and we'll not turn there, but there's a fellow by the name of Bezalel, and he was chosen by God to be the one who would develop and actually decorate all the inside of the tabernacle. He was the one that was going to shape all the gold and shape all the silver and the brass, and he was going to do the wood carvings, be in charge of making sure the wood carvings were all right, and everything was just exactly like the plans that Moses had seen when he was with the Lord. Bezalel was the one chosen to do that, and the Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit of God for that purpose. So God filling a person for a particular reason. He hadn't been filled with the Spirit of God prior to that, or it's not mentioned that he was. He was not filled at the point that God did fill him for this particular job. And then that was confirmed in Exodus chapter 35 and verse number 31, where they confirmed the fact, yes, he was. He was filled with the Spirit of God for the ornate of the inside of the tabernacle. He was the one in charge of all that, and he couldn't do that without the Spirit of God. And let me say this, if you're struggling with something on the inside, you're struggling with hurt, or struggling with bitterness, you're struggling with lust, you're struggling with something in your life inside, you'll never get past that without the help of the Holy Ghost of God. You'll never get past it right. Oh, I know there's AA. I know there's AA. I know people who have gotten some victory with AA, and I'm thankful for every daddy that's no longer drunk when he comes home from work because of AA. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every person who is able to throw the bottle away because of AA. But the difference between AA, what AA does for you, and what Jesus does for you, AA makes you a dry drunk. And you live with that panther breathing down your neck the rest of your life. Every time you drive by a liquor store, you got to look the other way because you're afraid to be drawn into that place. A dry drunk. Thank God, Jesus doesn't dry out alcoholics. Jesus dries out drunks. And the difference between alcoholism and drunkism and being a drunkard is an alcoholic. They say alcoholism is a disease which has no cure. Drunkenness is a sin, and like all other sin, it has a cure, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly I love him for all he's done for me in that way. 1 Samuel chapter 10, all through 1 Samuel chapter 10, it's prophesied that the Spirit of God will come on Saul and that he will become a prophet. He will prophesy. And then in chapter 10 and verse 10 of 1 Samuel, we find that Saul is actually prophesying. The Spirit of God came on him for a particular cause, a particular reason. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 13, Samuel goes to the house of Jesse and goes to all of Jesse's sons and finally gets to David, and he anoints David. He pours oil on David and anoints him in the presence of his brother and his daddy. And the Bible says that he received the Spirit of God for the rest of his days, for the rest of time. I forget exactly. Here's how it's worded. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so he had received it for a special reason, that special reason being he was going to be the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And then in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1, we find that the Spirit of God came upon Isaiah. He said to preach the Word of God. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to preach under the power of the Word of God. We need to have more of that. And then the Holy Spirit of God, though he would come on men at times, he would also leave men for specific reasons. Let me share this with you. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 13, the Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. And so the Spirit of God had come on him. He prophesied. And now because of his disobedience to the will of God, the Bible said that the Spirit of God left him. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 12, the Bible says, And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. And so the Spirit of God would come on people for a special reason, and because of sin, he would depart from those people. David had actually had a fear. David was possessed because of his sin. When David was running from God, when David was trying to hide from God, when David was trying to cover up his sin, which is foolish for a person. The only place sin was ever covered up was at the foot of the cross of Calvary, when the blood of Christ flowed across those sins. And not covered up, they're washed away, praise God. Amen. And David feared because of his sin that he would lose the Spirit of God. Here's what he said, Psalms 51, verse 10. He said, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David, from the time that he sinned with Bathsheba, and came to his senses a little bit, and got through, he had committed murder, he had committed lying, he had done everything in the world wrong. Now he begins to get under conviction. And he thinks, oh my goodness. And then the preacher came and told him the truth. Thou art the man, David. You're the one. And David had pronounced on the man who the story that the preacher had told. David said he'll pay 400%, he'll pay fourfold. And David did in his life. He prayed four times for his sin with Bathsheba. But all the time, the thing that David was thinking about, oh God. Don't withdraw your spirit from me. He realized the value of walking in the Spirit of God and how he had taken advantage of it, how he had taken it for granted, and he was fearful that the Spirit of God might be taken away from him. Not salvation. The Spirit of God came, the Spirit of God would leave, the Spirit of God would come, the Spirit of God would go. Well, someone says, when did it change? If it was that way then, and it's not this way, it's this way now, when did it change? Can you draw a line and tell us when it changed? I can get you within about 30 years of a time. I can't give you the exact date, but I can give you two verses that'll tell you what I'm talking about. In Matthew 11, verse number 13, the Bible says, For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, speaking of John the Baptist. So the Bible says at the time of John the Baptist, things changed. The law and the prophets were until John, and then things changed. And then the same thought is found in Luke chapter 16, in verse number 16. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John, but since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. So up until John, it was the law and the prophets. The Holy Ghost of God came, the Holy Ghost of God left. Now, I don't know when it says until the time of John. I don't know if that meant from the time of his birth, or the time of his ministry, when he pointed to Jesus by the banks of Jordan and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Maybe that's when he was talking about. I don't know. But until the ministry of John the Baptist, until the time of John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets, and after that, it was preaching of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. We need to understand that difference. Well, what do we have today? I'm glad I was born in the New Testament times, not Old Testament times. I'm glad I was born in a time when the Holy Ghost of God came and sealed us. Not until the first time we sinned, not until the first time we disappointed him, but he sealed us once and for all forever. Till the day of redemption, the Bible says. He is our third part of the threefold guarantee. Then when Jesus saved you, he keeps you saved. Jesus said that that a saved person is in my hand, I'm in the Father's hand, and we're sealed by the Spirit of God. Three times you're kept secure if you're a born-again believer today. In John chapter 14 and verse number 16, explaining what we have today, the Bible said, Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, capital C. And that he, personality, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, capital S, whom the Lord cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so it is today that the Spirit of God comes in us when we trust Christ. And that word dwell, or excuse me, abide, he may abide with you forever. The word abide here means to remain. He doesn't come and go like he did in the Old Testament. He comes and remains. And then another part of that is not to depart, it's to be present. And I thank God that he's there. He's there and tells me, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. And then he says, oh, you did it anyway, didn't you? You shouldn't have done that. Now, how do we get it fixed? The Holy Spirit of God, what a precious gift God gave us. And Jesus said, if I go not back to heaven, if I ascend not, he will not come. But if I go, the Father will send the Holy Ghost of God. What a very present help he is and a friend to us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, what a high order that is for Americans today. We've lived so high on the hog. We've had just about everything our way. And people who haven't had everything their way, many times it's their own fault. We've had a good time in America. Today, if we're not careful, we're covetous. Well, I want more of this, and I want more of that. I want a bigger this, a faster that, more of this, more of that, more of something else. And God says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you could lose your salvation, we wouldn't stay saved 15 minutes. Amen. But thank God he saves us once for all forever. It's eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. Not based on the works that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, and he's what keeps us saved. He put me in the ministry. Thank God over the years, he's kept me in the ministry. Oh, I've disappointed him. When I read a while ago the things we can do, we can quench him, we can imitate him. I don't think I ever tried to imitate the Holy Spirit of God, but I know I've grieved him. I know I've resisted him, but he has been faithful. He, when he came into my life, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. I trust tonight that's explained something that we kind of missed in our teaching of it on Sunday night. Hope it helps you. I really hope it does. God bless you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. My Father, I thank you tonight that you love us. Oh, precious Holy Ghost of God. How I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you still comfort us. You still convict us. Lord, you still want to lead us and be our guide and our overseer. You want to be the one who tells us to go left or right or to stop or go faster, go slower. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God who does all those things for us. And thank you, Lord, that he's not a fair-weather friend. He didn't disappoint me. He didn't disappear the first time I sinned after I got saved, nor the many times since. He's still there, still trying to make of me something special for the cause of Christ. And I pray, Father, tonight that I'd yield to him, that there'd be no reservation in my giving up and giving over to him. Lord, that you'd find in me just one you can trust and one that you can use and one you can build and one you can use in other people's lives. So, Father, I praise you for God the Father. I praise you for God the Son. And I praise you for God the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad that you three are one in opinion, one in operation, one in your working. I thank you for each part that each of you have had in my life, in the life of our ministry here at Bethel Baptist Church. And I pray in Jesus' name, Father, we'd be affected tonight even by your presence in our midst. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's